U.S. troops and others are continuing their battles against the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, among other places. And great progress has been made recently. But is that progress actually potentially troublesome? Seth Jones is director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at the RAND Corporation. He wrote a post titled, "Why a Dying Islamic State Could Be an Even Bigger Threat to America," and he's here to talk with us about that. Seth, the concept seems counterintuitive. Can you explain why you believe it?
Well, the challenge in the short term may be that as the Islamic State has lost territory, and it's lost actually considerable territory, the numbers since 2014 in Syria are about a 56% decline. In Iraq, there are an 83% decline, and that's due to a range of different forces. On the Syrian side, it's Kurdish and others. On the Iraqi side, it's Iraqi security forces, some of the Shia militia and Kurdish Peshmerga. But as we've seen the control of territory decline, we've seen an increase in levels of violence by the Islamic State. And what they have essentially done is try to stay relevant. And then part of it is also conduct revenge attacks for those for a loss of territory. So in the short term, what we may see is as the Islamic State loses its caliphate, its so-called caliphate in Iraq and Syria in particular, it may very well lash out and increase its attack levels, at least for the early phase, the next couple of months, maybe the next year or so. The numbers already are showing a decline in territorial control and a rise in attacks. And so the point is, that's what the trend looks like right now. That if that continues, then we should not expect that the organization, just because it loses territory, will disappear.
And these are organized attacks you're talking about. You're not talking about sympathizers.
Well, they're both. In some cases, they are Islamic State-directed attacks. Some of the attacks in the last year and 2 years in Europe have involved Islamic State's external operations capability and individuals that have been involved in fighting for the Islamic State or other jihadist groups in Iraq and Syria. In some cases, it is inspiring individuals, so it is a combination.
When it comes to some of the more unsettled nations in the Middle East where ISIS has found some comfort, does the U.S. have to engage in some sort of community building, state building, or else it'll just be a fought on the battlefield for, well, I don't want to say forever, but for a very long time?
The challenge in a number of countries where groups like the Islamic State operate, if we take Libya, for example, Libya is a case where Islamic State has essentially lost its control of territory. It had some limited control in places like Sirte and Darna. It's lost that control thanks to U.S.-supported actors on the ground. But the broader challenge is, you know, there are at least two governments there, and in a sense, there's no government that has control over service delivery across the country and basic security, including providing law and order across the country. And so the challenge is if you're not doing some basic steps to improve governance, then you're not dealing with one of the underlying factors that is allowing some of these groups to gain sanctuary. So the military tool is a necessary one, but it is not sufficient, and it doesn't begin to address some of the political, economic, or other underlying grievances or structural problems that have allowed these groups to operate. It's like Iraq. You can continue to target the Islamic State in Iraq, but if you're not dealing with broader issues of Sunni disenfranchisement, then I think you're still opening up the possibility that an Islamic State 2.0 or some of the al-Qaeda groups operating there can fill that vacuum and take advantage of those grievances. That's the broader challenge.
And how much does that come down to a certain level of trust? And with a new administration and changing policies, is there even more concern about whether other countries can trust the U.S. to follow through?
Yeah, I do think there would be a trust issue. The U.S. has come and gone. And if you look even further back, the U.S. had provided some assistance in Lebanon and left after the Marine barracks had done the same thing in Somalia after Black Hawk Down. But one could point out also that in the Afghanistan case right now, the U.S. has stayed. It does have a history, had a history of leaving in the late 1980s, early 1990s, including providing economic assistance. But it will have to provide some sort of credible guarantees that it's in this one for the long run. I think the lesson the U.S. has learned, at least I hope has learned, is that it doesn't have to win this one with U.S. conventional forces on the ground, certainly not in large numbers. It's really about building partner capacity and local allies that do the vast majority of the fighting. And that's something that I think is more sustainable than the large 100-plus thousand forces we saw in Iraq and Afghanistan in the 2000s.
Seth Jones is director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at the RAND Corporation. We've been talking about his recent piece, Why a Dying Islamic State Could Be an Even Bigger Threat to America.